What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 480, and across the screen is my trusty sidekick, Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. Just, getting into another week. Like, the week flew by. I couldn't believe it was already Wednesday.
Yeah.
It felt like we were just talking.
That's kind of a good thing.
You know?
You think
I was super busy, so that's probably why. Like, yeah, I mean, I woke up this morning and I was like, God, it's already Wednesday. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just definitely
busy.
I was wondering why I can't share the podcast on Twitter or X for some reason. Uh-oh. It's not showing up on the page.
Like options for buttons or something.
Yeah, I want to try it one more time. Before we get into Oh, here we go. Post this. Okay, I'm posting it. Anyways, this week's podcast, we have another great sponsor, and it is our friends over at MSI, and they sent us a little video to show you guys. So we'll go ahead and play that, and we'll be right back. And of course, that was the MSI MPG Core Liquid P13, which Ryan already reviewed.
Yeah.
And if you want to know more information about it, you can go to thinkcomputers.org/MSI. Of course, if you support any of the podcast sponsors, that helps us out quite a lot. Any we already talked about the cooler at length, but any quick words on the cooler?
I mean, I like the bubbled top to it, right? It's just kind of a unique look. I remember, because it's been a while, not a while, but a little while since I reviewed it. I remember the tubing is like super soft, so super easy to install. And I loved the like magnetic cap that went over the mounting hardware to hide all of it.
Yeah, I really like that.
They're like, oh, it's got this universal bracket, which is great, but then like that usually means it's going to be bigger because it's got to support AMD and Intel. Well, they've got this little magnetic cap that just snaps on, covers it up, and looks great. So yeah,
nice. Like I said, more information, thinkcomputers.org/MSI. And we have a lot to talk about this week. We have two really cool products that I took a look at. One was incredibly interesting. And then we're going to talk, is there going to be an RTX Titan, a new Titan card? Are we going to see a 5090 Ti? 60 series probably not coming out anytime soon. We're probably not ever going to see a Super Series RTX 50. This is more bad news. I know we're just going through bad news. Steam Machine likely delayed. More RAM stuff. Some interesting gaming stuff going on. New AMD bundle. So if you're buying AMD hardware, you're going to get a little add-on there, which is definitely nice. And a ton of other stuff. But first, before we get into tech, there was a big football game. Did you watch the football game?
I did.
It might be one of the most boring Super Bowls.
I was going
to
say,
closer to the end, it was super boring.
I thought it was like just a horrible game to watch. Like it was boring. There were like it felt just mistake ridden. Not that the Kansas City Chiefs obviously didn't even make playoffs, right? But it just felt like balls being like dropped, throws. Like it just wasn't a great football game, unfortunately.
If you're like both of those teams, I don't really follow football, but like aren't both of those teams, especially Seattle's really, really well known for their defense, right? So if there's two highly defensive teams, you're not going to see a lot of those big explosive offensive things. And like, yeah, that's how the game is played, but at the same time, it makes it incredibly boring. Yeah. But did you see any cool commercials or anything that you were like, oh, that's cool.
There was some that bugged me. I think I saw some like conversation about like the Dunkin' Donuts one where people were like talking about how it looked like a bad AI commercial, but then people like, no, it's just like face swap CGI. And that's like something that we're not going to get into it here, but like I see this online all the time. People are like, oh, that's AI. And it's like, no, it's not necessarily AI. It's bad CG or bad Photoshop.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's the same thing. And so that one just like bugged me. I was like, whatever this is trying to be or do, it
yeah.
didn't execute well. And I don't think I really saw one that was like amazing. I think there's one or two that I thought were good, but I mean, I'm excited to see like Project Hail Mary, that movie that's coming out with Ryan Gosling. So yeah. they have like the final trailer for that.
It's always good. The movie trailers, I think, are sometimes some of the best. And then some of the commercials, because like a lot of these commercials have like big name stars in them a lot of the time. So you're like, yeah. oh, that's kind of, I don't know if you saw like the Guy Fieri one where like they, I don't know if it's CGI. I don't know if
where he was like boring for a while.
Yeah. Then, like he didn't have his hair and he didn't have his goatee. I was like, wait, that's what he really looks like.
Well, yeah. I was like, this guy looks familiar, and then changed. Yeah, I was oh, okay. Yeah.
That one was funny. And then so AI.com was like a big controversy.
The site was like crashed.
Yeah. The site was crashed. Right. And it's like, I saw all of these like threads on or X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. And like, they're like, you know,
pay Cosmos. Don't spam the chat, bro.
Yeah.
We'll
get to you. Yeah. The threads were like, pay so much for the commercial, pay so much for this, forget to turn on Cloudflare, like, you know, because like you can turn on the setting on Cloudflare where like if you get a lot of traffic it like covers it, like forget to turn the setting on. So that one was pretty funny to see that happen, because typically like they're ready, like the companies are ready, because like they know it's a Super Bowl commercial, it's gonna be a lot of eyes on it, right? The site just went down, and that's whoever, I bet they're like waiting, you know, they're waiting for the commercial, and then they're like, the site's down.
Yeah, that's gotta be bad.
That, like sometimes like at CES, we'll have like something that blows up and like it crushes the site. I'm like, oh my God, the site's down right now. We're getting so much traffic. So now God of Cosmos has a question in the live chat. He goes, hey guys, do you think the Lenovo Legion 7 57 Ti 12 gig VRAM Ultra 285 HX with 32 gigs of DDR5 is good for running small AI tasks? I'm not an expert on AI. I think it all depends on what you're doing, and I guess how much VRAM it would be using. I don't do any local AI things. From what I've heard, you want 16 gigs of VRAM, but I don't know what specific AI task you're doing or anything like that. So I think kind of see what the demands are for whatever like LLM you're running or whatever you're doing. I think that's the biggest thing when it comes to choosing, you know, a system for AI, at least for me, because again, I don't do any local AI stuff.
Right.
You should probably get it.
I forget what it's called now because I haven't done it in forever, but Stable Diffusion. I used to run Stable Diffusion on like my 2070 Super, and like it would do it. Years ago. So like, yes, it will run some of those tasks. How fast you want it to happen and how heavy of a workload and the type of workload is going to affect that. But I mean, those stats are going to be fine for doing like
most things. So I would look at like whatever AI tasks you're trying to do, go ahead and look at, you know, what they require, what's kind of recommended. Did they do that for like AI things? Like what are the recommended?
I don't do enough of it.
Yeah. But I think it's going to come down to like the time to do it. Right. So if you increase your VRAM, you're going to increase the time to do all the computation or decrease your time to do all the computation. I think that's kind of it. So I think that's going to be the big thing there. So hopefully that answers your question. Sorry, we're not too well versed in AI. But moving on to PC stuff and some of the reviews and some of the products that we took a look at this week. I took a look at a headset that I was incredibly impressed with at CES, and I got it in and I really like it, but I don't necessarily think it's for the everyday gamer. And we'll get into why. So this is the Asus ROG Kithara. And it is a breakaway from the standard gaming headset. This is sort of a collab with Hi-Fi Man, who is a very popular brand when it comes to audiophile headphones. Again, no audiophile here, so never heard of them. I didn't even know what planar magnetic drivers are. And this has 100 millimeter planar magnetic drivers. So again, as a normal gamer, I'm like, this is gibberish to me. I don't know what this means. And this is going to have a design that's very different from a standard like USB or even a wired gaming head. It's going to be a little bit different. So you get quite a lot with this. First off, the headphones themselves are quite big. Like if you look at the ear cups, these are like, if you've ever seen audiophile style headphones, these look very similar. But on top of that, you get a handful of different cables, and this is going to be a wired gaming headset. And we'll talk about the reasons why. But so you have two connections on the actual headphones themselves, and you can either use these two cables. So these will connect to your outlets, I guess, on your headphones. This one breaks out into a single cable, and then you can use these three ends. So you have your normal 3.5 millimeter. I believe this is a 4.5 millimeter, and then you get a 6 millimeter. So whatever you're plugging this into. So again, this is not just designed for PC or mobile devices or your gaming console. You can plug this into a DAC or something like that. So you have that one. Then this one has a head or has a microphone on one side, and then it's just going to have another cable on the other side. And then that breaks out into a headphone and microphone 3.5 millimeter connections. Now you can plug those directly into your device, or you can use this splitter that uses USB type C. This is a portable DAC, which will go ahead and do that. So connection is a little interesting on this because it's not your typical. And the interesting thing about this headset is depending on what you connect it to, you're going to get different results. If you connect it, like even volume wise, so these do require some power. So when I connected it directly to my motherboard with just the headphone and microphone, I couldn't turn them up as high volume wise. But if I use the DAC, I could, adjust the volume a lot higher. So it just depends. And you'll even see differences depending on like different laptops. I tested it with different laptops. And again, depending on the laptop that you plug it into, you're going to get different volumes if you're using the headphone and microphone connection on there. So, but the headset itself is very high quality, mostly all made of metal. It has a metal headband here, not super big as far as the, like the headband part here. It's just a little piece of sort of like cloth or something like that. It's kind of made to suspend on your head, which I actually like. And they're not too heavy on your head. You can see those really big ear cups here with the ROG logo on them. They look really, really nice. And then we have our ear cups here. And this actually comes with two different sets of ear cups as well. We have these ones, and then we have the velour ones as well. Now, these ones, it's kind of interesting, the ear cup design too. So if you look at the ear cups, they're like thinner on one side, and then they're thicker on the other side, which is kind of interesting. I've never had a headset that's like that, so it's usually kind of uniform. Very comfortable. I didn't have any issues with the ear cups, and they fully encapsulate your ear. But the interesting thing about this headset, if you look at the actual design, is that this is an open back design. This isn't closed. So we'll talk about that as we go into performance and everything like that. But this is an open back design. And again, you can see just the only controls. There's no controls on the headset. You just have your two connections for those cables that I talked about earlier. So pretty simple when it comes to that. And again, that's a look at the headband and everything like that. And then setting this up, like I said, you kind of connect it how you would want. So here is the connection that I think most PC gamers will use. They'll connect the microphone, you know, the cable with the microphone, and then they'll either plug these two directly into their motherboard or like a USB DAC or something like that, or they'll use the Type-C here connection. You know, that opens up like mobile devices and maybe a laptop that doesn't have one of those connections or anything like that. And the inline, there is inline controls. So you have volume control, and then you can mute the microphone if you need to. And then if you're just mainly, you don't need the use for a microphone, or you have like a big mic like I'm using here, you could use it like this as well with this cable. And then you get your three different connections, and those just kind of plug right in to the end of that cable. And then you can plug this into whatever you want. So pretty, it's a little different than like a normal, just like USB headset. There's different ways to connect it depending on, you know, what device you're using. I use it mostly in the USB Type-C mode with the DAC pretty easily. Now, first off, this is probably the best gaming headset that I've used in terms of clarity, meaning that the sound is so clear and it's so... it just seems like there's more detail in the sound. Even listening to music, if you ever like use a crappy pair of headphones and then like you progressively get better ones, you listen to songs that you've never like you've heard like over and you like know the song, right? But yeah. Then if you put on like a good pair of headphones, there's like little things that you're like, wait, yeah, that's in the song, like these little instruments or whatever. You really hear that with these headphones. You really, really do. Immersive games are amazing with these because they really bring you into that, and you hear, it's very, very clear. You can hear so much more. And I think that's where this, you know, headset really excels. It's going to be some of the best clarity and just like overall good sound that you're going to have. How that translates to like competitive FPS games, it's not there. And the reason it's not there is, one, these are open back headphones. So it's open back headset. So that sound escapes. So you don't have as much immersion as you would like. That, and that directionally, I have $100 headsets that are better directionally. They have spatial audio, they have virtual surround sound or surround sound, and that's going to give you a better indication of where an enemy is. And if you're just playing normal games, adventure games, this is going to be an amazing headset. But for FPS gamers, this is just not... directional audio is like one of the most important things when it comes to FPS, especially competitive FPS. If you know, there's times where like in Apex Legends where like the audio doesn't work and you get shot from behind, you're like, how did I not hear this person? And that's, you know what I mean? Yep. And you want to be able to recognize where an enemy is coming from. And this headset's just not for that. Now, if you're using it for anything else, it's going to be amazing. And I think that's kind of where I like, as a normal non-audiophile, that's kind of how I see it. The built-in microphone's pretty good. We have audio tests of that microphone plus some of the previous gaming headsets that we've tested. And this headset is, there's a couple other things like, okay, so with open back headsets, people can't hear it. So sure. If you're around somebody, people are going to hear whatever you're listening to. So if you don't want them to hear what you're listening to, they're going to be able to hear it. And again, it just doesn't give you that immersion that you would get from a closed ear headset. I think, again, if you're somebody who's playing a game, like I played Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine 2, which is essentially like a movie that you're kind of playing through. It's amazing. Like the clarity of the sound and feeling all that, like it's so good. But then like, if we're going to go play Apex Legends, like I'm switching the headset because I want that directional audio. So that's what it kind of comes down to for me. I gave them an 8 out of 10, and the price at $299, which is for a gaming headset, is a little on the expensive side. Yep. But if you look at what's inside, that price is actually pretty aggressive. If you look at other planar magnetic based headphones, I mean, you could pay $1,000 with the same type of hardware inside. So, like I said, I think this is for a set person, you know, who wants like the best sound when it comes to like those type of games. But again, if you're a competitive gamer, I just can't see you using this over something else. So I gave it an 8 out of 10. Again, it's just not suitable for FPS. There's just better options out there at far lower prices. And then the max volume thing too, is like, if you connect this to something that doesn't have a whole lot of power, specifically like laptops and things like that, without the USB DAC, it is going to, you're not going to get as much volume as you would like. And then another thing that especially when it comes to gaming, is that there's no software. So there's no software.
I was about to ask if there's any software.
So you can't, like, if I have a gaming headset and I know I'm going to be playing FPS, like, I can go into the software. Even previous Asus headsets have done this, where like, you select the FPS setting and then it tweaks the EQ. So like, it really helps you with directional audio. Like, there's no way to tweak anything. There's no way to change the EQ. Now, you can tweak the EQ with third-party software, but again, you know, that you have to go find this third-party software and tweak the things yourself. Like, yeah. So I didn't like that there wasn't any software either, but I think, again, for the person who really values audio quality, and isn't playing FPS, this is going to be an excellent gaming headset. So I don't know if you had any other questions about it, besides the software.
No, I don't think so. It'd be interesting if they made another version that was closed back, right? If that would make any sort of difference for it. But yeah, that was pretty much it, was the software piece. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I like the headset. For my use case as primarily an FPS gamer, it's just not, you know, I would like switch the headset to like a different headset. And then when I was playing a open world game or like watching a movie or something, I'd put those back on. That's kind of how I would do it. So definitely check out the review. Of course, we have it linked in the show notes. And then I took a look at a motherboard from ASRock, and this is their X870 Tai Chi Creator. And it seems like everybody is coming out with a line for creators, whether you're, you know, streaming, doing video editing. And this board actually is very compelling. And we had the question earlier in the chat for AI. This is actually a compelling motherboard for AI as well. And I don't know if I don't think that's on purpose, but we'll tell you why. So they've gone ahead and done the whole creator thing with this board. And I don't know if you would say they're copying Asus, but like, it seems like a lot of these creator lines are black and gold. So we have this all black design, nothing crazy. And ASRock has never been like incredibly crazy when it comes to their board design. So as you look at it, you know, we have the gold accent here, and then we have this like little acrylic piece that goes over one of the heat sinks here. Like I said, it's a good looking board overall. As far as power design, this is going to have an 18+2+1 power phase design, 80 amp power stages for the CPU. So this is going to handle everything no problem. And those power delivery components are nicely covered with these two large heat sinks here, which I definitely like. You are going to get USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 with an internal header right here, power and reset on the board, plus a debug code display, which I always love to see, especially if you're doing any type of overclocking. Nothing crazy as far as like SATA or anything like that for SATA ports. And then one thing that is also pretty interesting about this board is that on the bottom, we're getting three internal USB 2.0 headers. I think a lot of brands are starting to do this now. Well, we talked about Asus with this. Yeah. And again, with so many devices using that internal header, it's an AIO, it's a screen, it's something else. You run out of them. So you're seeing three of those on this board. As far as your expansion slots, you actually get two full-size PCI Express 5.0 X16 slots. You have two cards installed. They're going to run at X8 speeds, but there are not many boards in this price range that have two full-size X16 slots that are properly spaced. You know, because everybody's using, especially like normal people, or you're only using one card. We're not doing, you know, multi-card setups for gaming or anything like that. But this board is set up like that because it's a creator board. Because if you were doing encoding or you were passing things off to GPUs, you could have multiple GPUs. If you're doing AI, you could have multiple GPUs. So this board will actually support that, which is nice. And like the second slot is a true, they're both metal reinforced. They're both made for supporting larger cards. So I definitely like that. The top one has their easy release, which is a button that allows you to release the slot, but you get that, which is really, really nice. Of course, you're going to get PCI Express 5.0 support when it comes to your M.2s. So the first two slots, if we look at the slots there, these two are actually PCI Express 5.0. Then these two are, then this one's PCI Express 4, and then this one's PCI Express 3. So you're still getting a bunch of M.2 slots on there as well. And then for your rear I/O, pretty standard. You are going to get USB 4 as well. And again, you think about video editing, coding, or working with 3D modeling. A lot of times you're sending these things off to like a NAS or something like that. So there's actually dual NICs on this, and one's 5 gig and one's 10 gig.
Nice.
So you're getting that. You're also getting Wi-Fi 7 connectivity as well on this. So a lot of things that are really designed for creators, which I really like to see. So I definitely like that. Also, these USB ports that are like, they're ultra USB power, those actually, they deliver like ultra low noise 5-volt power. So if you're running like a USB DAC, you don't want any interference. So those ports are specifically made for that as well. Again, something for creators, which again is really, really, really great to see. You can go through and see all of our, you know, testing and things like that performed well. I didn't run into really any issues. In general, you're getting that dual graphics card support, which again is pretty rare, especially in this price range. You're also getting USB 4, USB 3.2, Gen 2x2. And in total with internal headers and rear IO ports, there's 25 USB ports on this thing. Which is more than enough power for what you would need to, you know, it's going to handle all the higher end AMD CPUs, no problem there. And again, the connectivity with dual NICs, 5 gig, 10 gig, and then you're getting Wi-Fi 7 on top of that. The Wi-Fi 7 is not full bandwidth. It's only 160 megahertz instead of the 320 megahertz. A lot of brands have been doing that just to claim that they have Wi-Fi 7. It's still, like I said, it just doesn't give you that full bandwidth there. But I gave it a 9 out of 10, and it's only $319.99. And if you look at the feature set, like, you're not really going to find that feature set at that price. So I thought it was a really good deal. Gave it a 9 out of 10. The only real con is, like, the 160 megahertz Wi-Fi 7. You know, that's the only thing. But I don't think most people are going to be using the Wi-Fi because of the dual NICs on there anyways. But yeah, I really liked it. It's a really good board overall. So again, like I said, if you are doing AI or you're a creator, this is going to be a solid motherboard overall. So definitely check out that review as well. And talking about, like, I think the last like three builds that we featured have been like Asus ProArt builds. And this is another one.
Yes.
So we'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And we have Project Waterforce from PC Works and Asus ProArt build. And I liked, I love, man, what do you think of this gold, like the gold?
Yeah, it looks good. Usually not a big like metal tubing person, but I do like how it looks in this build.
Yeah, with like the Lee and Lee uni fans, yep, with the Infinity. And then what do you call these, Ryan? These are like are those pumps?
I don't think those are pumps in those. They're just like distribution blocks, but they're connected together to each other. Because the pump is at the bottom in that reservoir there. You can see it there, the D5.
I really like the implementation of these, and they're just like, yeah. And then again, you match it with like the G skill memory.
I don't know if it's just the pictures and how they're cropped, but it looks smaller than it probably is.
Yes. Yeah,
if you think about it, there's like 3 120 millimeter fans there. It's a full size motherboard. Just some of the angles make it look smaller than I think it is, because this is all full size hardware. So
yeah.
It's like cool. I like that it sits at an angle.
Yeah.
It's again, different. They've got, you know, some custom screws there that are fancy and attention to detail.
Yeah, for sure. White coolant in there too. It's a little different. I like this. I like the idea of like an open air build like this. Like, I really do. I think it's, yeah, it might be my next thing would be like a little open air.
The only thing that bugs me about open air is like getting enough cooling over like your power delivery and some of those components
that
just take advantage of some of that passive airflow inside of a case. But yeah, they definitely can look very cool.
I like how, like I said, the lines like go, you know, over the graphics card. Like,
yep.
Yeah, that's nice. I like it. So shout out to PC Works for this one. Of course, we have a full section of Case Mod Friday builds. You just go to articles, Case Mod Friday. And like I said, Pro Art, I guess it's gold. And then another Pro. It's like the last three have been Pro Art builds. So yeah, we'll move on to news. First, it looks like the RTX 60 series, which, you know, based on release times and things like that, would be coming out, you know, maybe in the summer.
Which seems soon, a little.
Yeah, like, but it looks like it has been pushed back. And it says no RTX 50 Super Series this year. I don't think we're going to see the Super Series, excuse me, at all. What do you think? Hold on. What do you think? Are we going to see a Super Series this year or at all?
I don't think so. Because like we've talked, you know, expectations would be that you're going to, you know, probably bump up memory or I don't think so. What we got is what we're getting, and that's it.
I don't see there being enough available VRAM, because when we first start talking about
affordable prices.
Yeah, so that's the two-edged sword. So one, we started seeing rumors of like, oh, they're bumping the card, like they're doubling the VRAM in some of them for the Super Series, like they're doing this, they're doing that. With the availability and price of VRAM, I don't see that happening. And then again, you can't launch, like the whole thing with the Super Series is like it comes out like a year later and it's slightly better, but it's at the same price, right, as the previous one. So like,
yeah, there's no way,
you know, a 5070 Super would cost the same price that the 5070 launched at, and then you're getting a better card essentially, right? With the cost of VRAM right now, you can't do that, and you can't put these out. And again, just available, what, like, how do you market that as NVIDIA? Like, hey, we have these new cards, you get a little bit better, but like, it's, you know, so much more expensive,
right? Especially when you know that that a 60 series is going to be coming. Like, why would you spend this amount of money on a, yeah.
No, well, that's the thing with the 60 series. Do you think that we don't see a 60 series at all? Or not at all, but like you don't see it this year.
Right. They wait until maybe prices come back down, but it's not in their interest for prices to come back down. Their interest is to sell things and make money. So, but that's harder to do when you're, you know,
so we have customers are priced out. You know, so say Super Series doesn't come out. So we have no refresh cycle, right? No refresh cycle. And then if they're going to, if the 60 series keep continue to get pushed back, say March 2027 time, what do you think? Do you think that's enough time for things to get normalized? Because, like, again, you also, okay, so say you, again, you don't put out anything. The 60 series comes along, and then, you know, again, your 5070 is, like, so much more expensive than the previous 5070 with, like, nominal performance gain. I mean, you're going to see some, but, like, nominal performance gain, right?
Yeah, you're not going to see an equal ratio of performance increase and price increase, right? It's going to be skewed towards a higher price. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's going to be, that's going to be interesting to see what happens on there. But I think NVIDIA has something, because, like, for their shareholders, they have to put something out, right? Yeah. And I think this is what's going to be. So we're either going to see an RTX 5090 Ti. So we're going to see a card that sits above the 5090. Whether that's a 5090 Ti or a Titan Blackwell card, that's what I think we'll see, that that's going to be the next NVIDIA release, in my opinion. And the reason I think that is because, obviously, the two biggest markets are gaming and AI. If you put a card that's going to sit above the 5090, it can do both. Oh, and you can market it as both. You could get the sales as both, and you could justify the crazy price that it's going to be as well.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I think they'll do. I don't know. This says Q3 2026, so that's summertime.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it kind of makes sense. Like, if you've only got a limited supply of components for your GPU layout, right? Might as well use it up on the highest end.
And again, this serves, like, that middle market of people who have no problem spending money on 5090, like a 5090 card, but they're not moving up to, like, the higher end NVIDIA workstation type cards. Sure. But they want to kind of do both. They want a game. They want to do AI locally. They want to, you know what I mean? So this is that middle ground between the two. I think that's what makes most sense to me. I don't know if we'll, you know, I just don't, like, I don't see the Super Series coming out just because of the fact of, like, how do you do it at price?
You can't. I don't think.
Yeah. And then the 60 series is going to be pushed back. So NVIDIA needs something, especially, like, Q3 2026 would be holiday. So you have something where, like, you know, again, holiday time is where people are buying components to build your new PC. And that would be a viable option for people who were going for that ultra high end system. So, yeah. Do you think it's going to be a Titan, or do you think they're going to call it a 5090 Ti?
I hope they call it a Titan. I think it'd be cool.
I know. There's just so much excitement. We haven't seen one at all.
Yeah.
There's so much excitement around the Titan.
It feels like it's on a different level because it's.
And
just,
if it is a Titan and it's NVIDIA only, right? There's no AIBs. They can control a lot of it, right? They can, they can control price. They can control availability.
Quantity,
they can do so I like it. I want a Titan. I want to, I still have never owned a Titan.
Have you ever had one?
I've never had a Titan, sadly. Kind of want one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to be interesting. So like I said, as more rumors come up, we'll talk to you about that. New version of DLSS is going to be launching in April. They had announced it. This is DLSS 4.5. The biggest thing is the now 6X frame generation, which is wild. So if you're not familiar with frame generation, essentially since DLSS has come out, you know, it's going to render a frame and then it's going to generate X amount of frames. And the more X amount of frames, that you generate that you don't render, it's going to increase your FPS dramatically. And we've seen that with all of our testing that we've done. New DLSS 4.5 supports 6x, so it's going to render one frame and then it will generate six frames. So yeah, it's, you know, pretty exciting, especially again, people who have lower end cards. It doesn't, I don't know if they'll bring this to non 50 series cards. Probably not. It says it's going to be 50 series exclusive. So, but still, if you had a lower end card, I mean, if you just like look at like the FPS difference, you know, like 3x frame generation versus 6, it's basically double it. You know what I mean?
No, it's cool. Some people really hate, you know, they call it their fake frames and all that, but like,
I think for most games, you're not necessarily going to notice a bit. I mean, I've seen videos where people like pixel peep and like, but like for the average gamer, I don't think they care. And like, if that allows them to go from 1080p to 1440p, like, you know what I mean?
Or just, 60 frames to 75 frames a second, right?
Like, yeah,
it can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not against it. Talking about graphics cards, Sapphire unveiled a new Nitro Plus Radeon RX 9070 XT Crimson Desert Edition. And this is a new game that I haven't heard of. But we'll talk about it. It seems to be a highly anticipated game. And essentially, they've just changed the card a little bit. The fan in the center has like something from the game, and then the back plate is different as well. So the back plate's gonna look like that.
I just love this Sapphire card. I think it looks so good. I haven't heard of this game. I just looked it up now. It doesn't look to be like a game that I would play anyway, so like I don't get excited about the custom card, but just the card itself is still sweet.
Yeah. So I definitely, I love this card. You know, I'm not a fan of though. And I was thinking about this when I was, when I did this article, was that when it comes to these custom cards now, it's just a backplate. They don't like, there's only a couple where like they really changed the look of the card, like the Astrals, like the Doom Edition, they really changed.
That's what I was thinking of. Yep.
Like a lot of times, and I get it because it's like a manufacturing thing. Like we can't change because we have to manufacture like if it deviates from the original design of the card beyond the backplate.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
So I get it, but I really like custom cards, if that makes sense. Yeah. But this Crimson Desert is going to be part of AMD's new promo bundle, so you'll be able to get the game for free. And this is not just GPUs, it's CPUs, it's laptops with AMD hardware inside. We have the full list, but you'll get a free copy of Crimson Desert with eligible AMD hardware purchases. Promo is going to run from February 10th to April 25th, and the redemption deadline must be redeemed by May 23rd. And we have the full list here. So it's Ryzen processors, a bunch of the 9070, 9070 XT as far as graphics cards, and then a bunch of systems as well that have a bunch of different AMD hardware inside. And again, you'll get the game. So the bundles haven't been great. Again, I know nothing about this game, but it must be something, right?
Anticipated for sure, yeah.
Yeah, so pretty cool. Like I said, I'm a fan of bundles. Getting a game with this used to be normal, right? You get a game, or you get like three games with your graphics card. But it's nice that AMD is doing that. So we have the links for all of that if you were thinking about getting some AMD hardware, so you can go ahead and redeem your. I think they have it now. It's in the software. Like if you download the AMD software, it will tell you to redeem, which is kind of nice as well. That remind me of the when the guy's like, do not redeem. have you seen that meme where like, you know, the guy who calls like he pretends to be a victim of like the call center.
Okay.
And they like tell him to, they like, he pretends to be like an old lady and, you know, in some call center in like India or whatever. And they like the whole scam is like they need you to
have you buy gift cards.
Yeah, buy a gift card, and then he like instead of telling them the number of the gift card,
he just redeems it.
And the guy's on the thing, he's like, "Do not redeem. Do not redeem." It's like one of the funniest memes I've seen in a while. It's hilarious. Yeah, that's funny. But moving on to memory, of course, there still is a massive memory shortage, and a new DRAM supplier popped up over the past couple years. But it's Chinese based, and that we run into there's a lot of problems that you run into, especially with how the United States is governed now when it comes to Chinese companies and things like that. And this company is called CXMT, but it looks like, you know, HP, Dell, Acer, Asus, like they're looking at possibly using CXMT for some of their products. Because of the supply issue, right? So if an HP is trying to keep, you know, the cost of a laptop down,
right, going to this other
supplier instead of a Crucial, like, instead of an SK Hynix, instead of a Samsung, they'll go with,
yeah, and it's always been just like a bit of a, I don't want to say monopoly, right, but it's always been just the three, right, the big three for memory, right? Where did this company just come from?
You should just go down the rabbit hole of like tech Twitter and whatever.
Oh, I know,
and like there are conspiracy theories about the big
all
three
collude,
yeah, yeah, each yeah, other yeah.
Forever.
Oh, and I'm pretty sure there was like a lawsuit where they did all collude like 5 years ago.
There was.
But yeah, this CXMT, I don't know much about them, but they make DRAM, obviously. And again, if a brand's trying to stay within a price point, you know, or whatever, it makes sense. And it'll be interesting.
How long can you keep that price point until everybody else goes to CXMT as well and they're at capacity?
And you also have to see if there's going to be any regulation put on this by the US government too, right? We saw what happened with Huawei. We're seeing what's happening with DJI. So it's like one of those things where, you know, and again, this could even just be better for the Asian market compared to the US market too. But yeah, it's interesting. So we'll see what happens with that. And then talking about the RAM shortage, Steam Machine looks like it's going to be delayed, which, I mean, kind of was
just bad timing, unfortunately, right?
Yeah, it was like completely bad timing. I just think it's a price thing. I think this thing's been ready to go. It's ready to go. It's ready to ship. They just need to find a good price and availability, right? Because
but
I think
if this thing's ready to go and ready to ship, they probably paid for that memory before these spikes.
Or like, you know, it's going to be one of those things where they have like so many units and then they know they're going to sell out of those. And then the next round and like they're going to lose a lot of money if they keep a price. So I think it's a price thing. Yeah,
that sucks.
Would you ever foresee this being completely canceled?
I mean, you might if you, yeah, like if you've and only I don't had think one people, round of production,
I don't
and
think
don't
people,
have a ton of inventory.
I don't think people realize how big Valve is, too. Massive company.
I can see. I mean, I would. Gabe.
Yeah, he Gabe bought Will. A $500 million yacht.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, it's not a small company, right? No. So, like, do you think like if things are just bad, they could just
sure
they could.
You've
just
got your first round, right? Like. Cut your losses
and they release it as a special edition. There's only this many. We're not doing anymore.
Yeah.
And then just can it. I don't know.
It may not make sense cost wise to do it. You've got your sunk costs for your R&D and your design and everything to complete this. And the first round of manufacturing, right, that you may have done, but to do a second or third round to meet demand, you may wash away all profit and like dig yourself even deeper.
Yeah.
With no way out. So,
yeah. And with only so many units on that first round, you can keep your like tech support and all those teams a lot smaller, which would, again, save you more money too. It's gonna be an interesting year, man, when it comes to all this stuff, for sure. So
just feels so familiar too, like, yeah, just with like pricing and availability, it's not the same as it was, you know, in 2020 ish times, but it's similar.
Yeah, very, very so similar. Well, if you're looking for a new motherboard for Intel coming up, we got a leak of the new chipsets and what all the different PCIe lanes and things you're going to get. The big one, of course, is going to be the Z990. That is going to be the, on the consumer side, that's going to be the highest end chipset, 48 total PCIe lanes. Of course, two USB 4 ports, and this is all stuff that's in the chipset. This is, you can obviously with motherboards, you're going to get more things added on. 12 PCIe 5.0 lanes. Pretty nice feature set here, which I really like. I'm excited for new motherboards, but it's just like, it's such a, there's not going to be as much excitement around all of this stuff. Would you still go AMD if you're doing a new build?
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
I think so. Yeah.
But yeah, pretty nice to see what we're going to be getting when it comes to new AMD or new Intel motherboards. I'm sorry. So yeah, pretty interesting there. Also, and I think there's a reason for this. So the Steam survey for a while was showing growth of, for processors of AMD. AMD was growing. This has been the first time that Intel has had a new uptick on the Steam survey. And I think I know why. I'll let you guess why. But yeah, new uptick of Intel-based systems on Steam as far as the Steam survey goes. Why do you think this is?
My only thought, I was going to say maybe some of those handhelds, but I think most of those are running AMD.
Some are running Intel, but that's not the reason.
I don't know.
I think the reason is pre-builts. That pre-builts, everybody's talking about pre-builts and how that's the only way you can get around the RAM thing right now, is pre-builts.
Sure.
Even that CyberPower PC pre-built is still the same price at Best Buy.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's surprising.
Yeah. Because somebody was asking me about pre-builts and I sent them that and I looked at the price. I was going, well, the price hasn't changed. And I think that's a lot of people, again, during that holiday season, as prices were ramping up and you couldn't build your own PC for the life of you because the RAM prices, it's only gotten worse. A lot of pre-builts are still at their normal currently. You're going to see price increases eventually when they run out of stock that was already there.
Yeah.
But pre-builts are primarily Intel based. I mean, there are AMD SKUs, but a higher percentage are Intel based. That's why I think we're seeing this uptick on the, you know, Steam survey. And yeah, I think right now, if you want a new PC, like pre-built, you know, get around the RAM issue and it's going to save you like $500. If it saves you $500, that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a lot of money that can go to other parts or just back in your wallet.
Yeah. Did you buy any G-Skill memory over the past, 10 years?
No, I don't think so.
Well, if you did, there was a lawsuit and you can claim a settlement. So there's a $2.4 million class action settlement right now for DDR4 to DDR5. If you bought G-Skill memory from January 31st, 2018 through January 7th, 2026, you're eligible for a claim. In the article, we actually have how to submit your claim and do all of that.
Nice.
Apparently, I didn't even know it. Maybe we might have covered this. I don't remember.
Doesn't sound familiar.
But they advertised the speed of the memory. It was like the overclocked, like the memory could hit that, but like that's kind of how they advertised it when it was like that. Depending on your system, it might not hit that, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's kind of the whole lawsuit in a nutshell. But if you want to submit a claim, we have all the links for you on there. So yeah. And then finally moving to gaming. So Overwatch 2, you played that for a while, right?
No.
Oh, really? Okay.
Nope. Didn't play any of that.
Okay. So Overwatch 2 has been out for a while. Blizzard, and I've never seen this happen. Maybe. Yeah, even with Windows, they didn't just call it Windows. It's always like Windows, right. Vista, right. 7, whatever. There was rumors that Windows was just going to be called Windows. And then it'd be continuously upgraded, which I think is the better. I don't know. Anyways, Blizzard rebrands Overwatch 2 to Overwatch. And again, we've already had Overwatch. Overwatch was a thing. It was the first game. It wasn't called Overwatch 1. It was just called Overwatch. Now, Overwatch 2 is just being called Overwatch. And again, I think this is what they're doing. It's like, it's just going to be like
World of Warcraft, right? Like you have World of Warcraft, the game, and then you have expansions that come out, but it's not like it's now called World of Warcraft War Within, right? That's just the latest expansion. So I think this makes sense.
Yeah. So a whole new overhaul of the game and all of that. I think it's just the first time I've ever seen a game like, oh no, we're just calling it Overwatch now. It's not Overwatch 2. So that's kind of interesting.
And they launched 10 new heroes.
Yeah, 10 new heroes.
Well, they're launching. I think only 5 are available. They'll roll out through the rest of the year.
But yeah, so interesting.
I haven't played that game. Well, like, obviously, I hadn't even played Overwatch 2, so that tells you how long it's been since I played any Overwatch type of game.
Yeah.
When that game first came out, I played a lot of...
Yeah, original Overwatch. Yeah, it's a good game. It's fun. I had a lot of fun. I played hours of Overwatch 2. Yeah. And then Battlefield 6 Season 2, we got an update from the dev team on kind of what they're doing and everything like that. For season 2, one thing I like is that they're like very open about like what they're doing. They put up this big thing on X, like community update, everything that they're changing, everything that they're doing for season 2. You know, it's just like I like stuff like this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Play some. Yeah, definitely want to get we haven't played Battlefield in a while. But yeah, pretty nice.
Your computer can't handle it.
No, this one can. The old one could not. You know, new map, things like that. Do you get excited for like the new seasons of things? I used to get excited for the new seasons of Apex because of like a new gun or like a new hero. New
champion or, yeah, or new like, map. I like, yeah. What I care about most is like maps and champions.
Yeah,
like skins and stuff. I'm not like if there's cool skins, I'm like neat, but I'm usually not like,
I think a map is the biggest thing because you're like, oh, I want to explore this, I want to try this. And like, especially if they like completely redo it or like they bring back an old map that was like it's been out of the rotation for a while. And yeah, or like a new gameplay mode I'm pretty excited for as well. It's in the article. We have all the updates that they're planning for Battlefield 6 Season 2. So if you want to go ahead and check that out. But that wraps up news for the week. Coming next week, I have a really awesome motherboard. This is the Asus. What is this? This is the Asus ROG Crosshair X870E Dark Hero. I actually posted an unboxing video. It's all over our social media if you want to check it out. This has like everything. And again, this is just coming out. We talked about the ASRock board, but also they have 2 full size. I think it's going to be the new thing as AI gets more popular, I think. And because a lot of people need like another reason to build a PC so they could say, oh, I'm doing this for AI plus gaming. But yeah, this board has everything.
And it's got the AIO connector. Too.
Yeah, it has a new AIO connector, awesome. Which I talk about in the review. You know, it has like a crazy power delivery system. It has every connection that you want. Again, those 3 USB 2s here, but it has USB 4. It has dual Gen 5 M.2 slots. It has a lot of the same features as the ASRock board. It's much more expensive, but there's so much like. And one thing that I absolutely love is that they redesigned the BIOS and it's really, really good. like really.
I mean,
like,
it was pretty good anyways, but
it's so much better. And okay. I've done a whole BIOS video, so that will be in the review. But they've done some really cool things that like it's just nice. And it's like, as if you're a beginner to the BIOS, it's going to make things so much easier for you too. So there's so much in this board, but it's like they had two high-end AMD boards at CES. This was one of them. The Glacial was the white board. That's even more high-end than this. But this is going to be one of their flagship AMD boards for 2026. So really excited to have that for you guys next week. So definitely go ahead and stay tuned for that. And that brings us to our question of the week. So we've been talking about gaming. And I'll talk about it. I saw a tweet like right before we got on the podcast. I don't know if I'll be able to find it again. But in any case, so is there, if a new game was coming out, what would you actually want it to be? So we talked about that Crimson game. Like, you know, we haven't heard of it and we probably wouldn't be all that interested. Like if there was a game coming out that you would want to play, what would it be?
I saw this question when you like shared the notes earlier today. So I kind of thought about it a little and it's like, I play multiple types of games, right? Like I find myself like for a while, like Minecraft, right? You get sucked into playing Minecraft and like build. So like building something is enjoyable. And then like first person shooters are enjoyable and survival games. So like, I like all these genres and MMOs, like, so I was just trying to think of like how you could like meld some of it all together. And I'm like, this seems like the most complex, like it almost made me think of like Star Citizen, that's going to combine so many aspects of gaming types into one. Mm-hmm. But like with Star Citizen, it's still not fully out. So like, maybe that's too ambitious for just a game. So I don't know that I don't have a good answer. I don't know.
I think, and again, this I found the tweet that I was looking for, so I'll bring it up here in a second. But I think there needs to
be gotten preview.
Yeah. I think there needs to be like a classic IP, but not the same type of game, right? So like if it is a World of Warcraft, it's based in that universe, but it's not the open world World of Warcraft that we're used to, right?
Sure.
If it's a Doom, you know, we had a new Doom game come out last year. Like it's not, you know what I mean? But like bring back even if it's like a Sim City, like a reimagining of Sim City. Right. I think with like all the nostalgia, maybe because like we're at that age now, like we're in the nostalgia stuff, but like nostalgia is pretty big. Like, I mean, if you look at like even some of the commercials at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so and
the Silverstone case, right? Like we've talked about.
Yeah. So like, I think bringing back a classic, and it has to be like a big classic IP. Like I said, like something in the Warcraft universe, something in the Doom universe, something in the Quake universe. Like, you know what I mean? But it doesn't have to be, even if it's Quake, it doesn't have to be an FPS. It could be, it just has to be in that universe. Right.
Makes sense.
Even like a Star Wars, like a new Star Wars Battlefront would be great. And that game's not even crazy old, but that was like, you know.
It's been a while.
Yeah, I think something like that, that's the game that I would want to play, right? It's in one of these mega big PC game IP.
But not the like traditional.
It doesn't have to be
version of that.
Yeah. And interesting. So I saw this tweet like right before we got on the podcast. I'm going to bring it up here. So it says, Blizzard is reportedly reviving StarCraft as a shooter with Arc Raiders owner Nexon. So this is what I'm talking about. So like StarCraft is not a shooter, right? You know. So but something like in the StarCraft universe, I would totally be interested in. You know what I mean? So I think that would be the game that I would be like, I'd be kind of pumped for, right? Yeah. So yeah. Even like a battle royale in one of those universes, right? So like obviously your heroes or whatever would be like people from the game. You know.
When was that tweet? Because that was from Icy Veins.
February 10th.
So okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know how I just saw it. So I don't know how, you know, it's going to be, but that's the game that and it does, like I said, doesn't have to be StarCraft, doesn't have to be Warcraft, but it has to be like a big IP. Like I said, if they made a new Roller Coaster Tycoon that was like, we're going to bring you back to like the OG Roller Coaster Tycoon, and it's like this thing, right? That type, like, I would be excited for it, right? You know, that's all I'm saying for that. So that is essentially it. Is there anything else tech related that you wanted? Oh, I do have something actually sort of tech related. I've been watching a new show about WeWork. So if you guys don't know what WeWork, it's like a co-working space. It was huge, and it's about the story of it. It's on Apple TV. It's called We Crashed. It's quite good. I've only watched a couple episodes. I think there's only like 5 episodes total. But it's actually quite good. So cool. That's a new thing I've been watching. Anything on your end?
No.
All right. Well, that will end it. We're going to jump over to Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We're going to be over there playing some games. And of course, Ryan runs that stream. So thanks everybody for coming out, and we will see everybody next week.